brought to you by Penguin.
The Congress of Rough Riders by John Boyne, read by Wilf Scolding. Chapter 1. On Lookout Mountain. My great-grandfather is buried on Lookout Mountain, his grave overlooking the Great Plains and the Rockies, far from the Cedar Mountain, Wyoming, resting place that he had requested before he died. This grave, chosen for him by family when he no longer had a say in it, is near Denver, Colorado, where I lived for a year, where I worked, where my son was born, and where my wife was murdered. Standing there with the white-topped peaks in the distance forming part of the great spinal column that connects the forests of western Canada to the dry-aired flatlands of New Mexico, the senses are struck by the spicy scent of pine needles in the air, while the quick breeze encourages brisk movement. The wildlife, the bison, the elk, the great bears, drift from hilltop to plateau, glancing warily at visitors. There is no restlessness here, just slow movement and ongoing life. This is a separate place, and although it was not my great-grandfather's desired grave, I feel sure that he would have been able to approve of it. My father, Isaac, who like me was named for his great-grandfather, never visited Lookout Mountain, never in fact set foot outside England during his lifetime, but he always spoke of it with authority, the same authority which he lent to his study of the life of the grave's occupant, who died in 1917, the year before Isaac's birth. My most recent visit to the grave was my third. My first came a few weeks after arriving in Denver in 1998, and then again about a year later. Isaac assumed that I would be here more often. He refused to believe that my wife and I would come to Denver for any other reason than to be closer to Lookout Mountain, and it remains much more his place than mine. I could never equal his passion for our family history, his need to have an illustrious past, a celebrated ancestor. He was a storyteller, with just one story to tell, but that story was a story of a lifetime. I was interested. I was certainly intrigued. But Lookout Mountain has never been my haven. In fact, it's represented something which has caused me only pain. My most recent visit came about because Isaac had died, and there was something that I needed to do there. I'm a child of the 1970s, born on the first day of the decade when Isaac was 52 and a first-time father. He met and married my mother when he was 50. From time to time he would tell me stories about his childhood, his youth, but he gave very little away, his own life and history being of little interest to him. In fact, I never really got to know where he had come from or what his own childhood was like. Instead, the stories he told were about his grandfather, and he gave me his name, William, which I kept in its full form, unlike my ancestor, who opted for the diminutive Bill. I was probably 6 or 7 before I realized that my father was the same age as most of my school friends' grandparents. It confused me a little, and scared them, but I didn't ask many questions. I barely knew my mother. She left home when I was 4 years old, divorcing my father and marrying a doctor before emigrating to Canada, where she still lives. We rarely speak. It's hard to know whose story this is. It's partly mine, and it's partly Bill's. But in the centre comes Isaac, telling me all he knew about his grandfather, and making me who I am at the same time. 3 generations of men, separated by long periods of time and place. In some ways, none of us really related to the others at all. I spent my life running away from Isaac, but now that he's dead, I find myself keeping his memory alive more and more through the stories. Isaac's prized possession was mounted on the wall of our living room, and I knew better than to take it down without permission. It was a Smith & Wesson handgun, manufactured in Kansas in 1842, and given to Bill by his own father as a reward for saving his life when he was a child of 9. An American, Bill's father had been taken as an abolitionist by some pro-slavery men after he gave a speech near the Salt Creek Trading Post in Missouri, where he refused to endorse the admittance of slavery into the new state of Kansas. Having been part of the original settlement of Iowa when it was brought into the Union, Bill's father had been entrusted with leading the settlement of the region. As such, his was a voice which was given credence by the local population. When he spoke, his words carried almost the weight of government, a future government.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?